Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
When my 18-year-old son passed, it was tragic, and I still fight some days to keep my head above water. It's just, I can't explain losing a child. You know, but the healing is coming slowly, though I don't think it will ever be complete. But it's something where you can at least keep going. With this right now, just not knowing about my son, it's such a limbo situation, and there's no healing that could come up this as it is right now, not knowing. It's just a nightmare. It's a stagnant nightmare.
...28-year-old Todd Renard has been missing from Bellingham, Washington since February 22, 2017. Todd had spoken to his mom the day before and promised to call her the following morning, but that call never came. Todd's friend claims that he just ran off into the woods and never came back out. His family has asked this friend to show them where he allegedly ran into the woods so they could search the area, but he never showed up as promised. Weeks after Todd vanished, his belongings started to appear in random places around town, but no one knows who left them there. There are many rumors about what happened to Todd and where he may be, but the rumors have led them to places that they've been unable to search. Now, as we approach the one-year mark, the question of what happened to Todd still remains a mystery. I'm Marissa, and this is episode 113 of The Vanished, Todd Renard's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. I was contacted by Todd's mom, Wendy, to see if I could cover his case. His family has struggled to get much media attention, and they've grown frustrated by the response from the Bellingham Police Department. Todd struggled with addiction, but his struggles did not define him. His kind spirit and unique outlook on life touched so many people who knew him. The first person that I spoke to for this episode was Todd's mom, Wendy. She gave me some background information about him.
The sweetest guy you'd ever want to know, besides his demon, if you will. He'd give the shirt off his back for you, even when he had nothing, and I've actually seen him do that. He wanted to go pro skateboarding, and he'd been endorsed, sponsored just for that. And he was very good at it. But then again, pull of substance abuse usually won out with him, being persistent with it. And then he went to beauty school. And he was very, very talented at doing hair. Very, very good. Highly recommended from customers, clientele. Skateboarding was his passion.
I also spoke to McKenna for this episode. She met Todd after she moved from Alaska to Bellingham. After meeting him at beauty school, the two were inseparable.
I met Todd at beauty school. I had just moved to Bellingham. He started going to school, and of course, all the girls crushed on him, trying to, and course, I had a crush on him, too. And I got lucky enough to score a date with him. As far as I know, he was clean. When he started going to beauty school, he was doing really good. Amazing hairdresser. So the first thing that drew me to Todd is not only is he the most gorgeous man I've ever seen in my life, but once you actually get to know Todd, there's so much beauty and so much heart, and he's been through so much struggle and life experience. And he's had a really, really rough life. And it really bums me out because one of the things he wanted most in life was a family. I hope every day, sometimes I even think that I see him. It breaks my heart that just because he struggled, because he had such a hard life and he didn't know how to deal with it, he's not going to get the chance to. I hope he does. I hope we do find him. But if anyone deserved to be loved and to see the beauty in this world, it was him.
When I was looking at Todd's social media accounts, I kept seeing really sweet pictures of him with this cat. McKenna told me how much this cat meant to Todd.
So pretty much the most important thing in his life is this cat that he got for his birthday from his Aunt Tanya, his little sisters, and me. And he cared probably more about that cat than anything in the world. And it was his best friend, you know, ever. He taught him how to walk on a leash, and that was a really, really big part of his life.
Several months before Todd disappeared, McKenna moved back to Alaska, and Todd was determined to get clean and move to Alaska with her.
He's tried to get sober multiple times. The last probably 6 months before he went missing, it seemed like he wanted it more than anything. And he wanted it so bad, he just didn't know how to find it. And it's all he knew. And when I moved back to Alaska, he was supposed to follow suit and come up here with me once we got it figured out. He ended up staying with his mom and doing really good, you know, for a while. He went back to Bellingham just for a visit, and it was all downhill from there.
Wendy told me this too. Todd had been doing so well until that fateful trip back to Bellingham.
I had my son with me, and, you know, he got cleaned up and he was doing good. He looked well. And then his friend called him back for something, and then it just went all downhill. He left my house January, and by February 22nd, this all happened.
McKenna received one last message from Todd before he disappeared. This message continues to haunt her to this day.
The last message that he sent to me about a year ago, on the 21st, was, "I just want you to know that you're everything I've ever wanted." And at that point, we weren't talking every day like we normally would. And I'm like, where is that coming from? You know, and he's like, "I just wanted you to know." And it kind of seemed like he was trying to tell me something.
Wendy also heard from Todd on the 21st.
I spoke with him the 21st, and he told me he would call me the morning of the 22nd, and I haven't heard anything from him since.
It was sometime after this call that Todd disappeared, and his family became concerned when they were unable to reach him. We don't have a solid last sighting of Todd because he was living a transient lifestyle. He had been staying in a motorhome with a friend. This always makes it that much harder to track down exactly when and where someone disappeared. Todd did have a cell phone on him when he went missing. His family had hoped that his cell phone records would lead them to some answers.
The detective was telling me that since my son is an adult, she can't ping his phone because she doesn't have his permission, giving me some kind of roadblock like that. But she did go into my son's phone records through his phone number and said that there hasn't been any activity on it since his disappearance.
In an attempt to find more information, they've had to track down the friends that Todd had been hanging out with leading up to his disappearance. This has led them to some disturbing rumors.
There's, of course, numerous rumors, but my son was not hanging out with good people. From what we heard and we keep hearing over and over again, is that he was with Dennis and his girlfriend. And, well, before that, this Dennis and them stole a guitar worth $7,000, I guess. And these people came after the Dennis guy and his girlfriend, and he blamed it on my son and ended up setting up my son to meet these people and did whatever happened to him. I've heard that they did away with my son and rolled him in the carpet and threw him in the river. And then the other one is that they threw him in a hole. So I don't know. I know this isn't like my son never to call me.
Dennis has his own story about what happened to Todd.
He's trying to say that him and my son and Dennis's girlfriend went out to go car prowling and that Todd ran off into the woods. He didn't know where he went. So he came back without Todd, and he was never to be seen again. But he lured Todd off somewhere, and Todd never returned. And then 2 weeks later, when they found out that we were looking for Todd, and we sent the police to go look, this Dennis lured him, is what we're hearing, lured him to meet up with these people who were looking for whoever stole that guitar. But he told him he wanted to go car prowling, and all I know is that he tried to say Todd ran into the woods, and he was really sick. He probably crawled under briar bushes or something, making it sound like he was sick and died or something. And then after a while, this Dennis had said that he would meet us at the woods where Todd entered, because he said, I want this done and over with. But then he never showed up. This Dennis stated he had had Todd's phone, and that, which was just complete BS, saying, oh, Todd left it at his uncle's, or his, I believe it was his uncle's or his grandpa's, months before, and he just found it, which is crap, because I was just communicating with my son on there. He's denying now that he has it.
Weeks after Todd disappeared, his belongings started to appear in strange places around town.
2 weeks after he was reported missing, someone dropped off my son's backpack with his ID and all of that and just left it inside a cafe thing, Whole Foods cafe thing, just left it there. And then a couple months ago, some guy said that he was walking back some field, and this is where that Dennis guy would stay, and found my son's skateboard wrapped in some clothes thrown to the side of the woods there.
When Wendy told me this, I was hopeful that they had been able to pull surveillance from the Whole Foods to see who had left the backpack there.
Now, every time there's supposedly sightings or things happening at certain areas, the detectives always told me, oh, well, it was either a race or it automatically erases and starts over again after a week, this or that. Some excuse.
So who was leaving Todd's belongings around and why? Are they trying to make it look like Todd's still out there? Wendy has attempted to get to the bottom of this.
Todd was staying in a motorhome with Alec, who is friends in the same circle, and different conflicting stories there too. And I'm wondering if it didn't come from the motorhome, because this Dennis is claiming when they got back, or he got back and Todd didn't return, Todd had left his backpack in the motorhome. So when I asked this Alec, who owns the motorhome, for my son's backpack, he says, oh, it was stolen. And then it appeared there.
There's another person who's been acting kind of strange since Todd disappeared. And that's the guy that he'd been staying with in the motorhome.
It was supposedly they were behind the Walmart when this happened. And then that's what the guy that owned the motorhome said. And then later they were saying, oh, they were parked behind Whole Foods. But when I reported my son's his disappearance, the police came and knocked on this motorhome and couldn't get a response. And then the owner, Alec, wouldn't answer the door. And he immediately called his mom that evening and was asking her to bring over cleaning supplies. And she thought it odd. I even have it on text still. Very interesting. And I hounded and hounded and hounded the detective on this to please check out that motorhome. Well, it turns out, a little while later, he had a fire under in between the front seats of this motorhome, motor fire under there, and he got it towed to a towing yard. Well, he relinquished his right to it, but before that happened, I asked her, and I told her where it was, and she said that she needed a search warrant for it, but she needed probable cause. So she roadblocked that. Well, we knew the person that owned this tow yard, and he said that he would hold it, which he did, and Alec relinquished all of his rights to it, so they owned it. So he said that the police could come out anytime they want. They didn't need a warrant, and they could go through that to see if they could find DNA, anything. I told her this, I don't know how many times, and she kept roadblocking me with something. And then a few months ago, I told her, reminded her about it, and she said, oh, I thought it burned to the ground. And it's like, no, she didn't, because she had told me before, you know, that she needed the warrants, this and that. So she let that go. What happened was when I called them to see, okay, is it all right if she comes to look now? Because it had been a while. They said, oh, well, we had to recycle it because we waited and waited for the police to come, but they never did. So she blew that out. And every time we tried to lead her to where, you know, there's always some truth to rumors, I believe, especially when they're persistent on the same path, and telling her, please, you know, do this or that. And she just totally roadblocks everything. And it's because she's not doing anything. She doesn't want to. She told me that she feels like when someone goes to jail that knows something and they're looking at time, she says, I feel that they're going to reach out to me and try to make a plea bargain. So she's waiting for it to fall in her lap.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. A major complicating factor with Todd's case is that the tips they've received suggest that Todd is on a property that the Bellingham Police Department doesn't have the authority to search.
And this has all been pointing back to that my son is somewhere on the reservation, the Lummi Reservation, either in that river or on one of this Dennis's properties in a hole in the back of his woods.
The detective handling Todd's case has promised to contact the Lummi Nation Police Department to see if they can work together to establish if these rumors are true or if they're just, in fact, rumors.
The investigator on this said that she knows some people with the Lummi police force on the reservation there. She has contacts that way and that she was going to get a hold of some to see what she could get them to do and this and that because she says, you know, we don't have jurisdiction there. And then she never got back to me about that. And I've hounded and she just won't call me back. She won't answer my messages, nothing. Return calls, anything. She's just written me off the planet.
The stories that Wendy has heard suggest that Dennis, his girlfriend Stephanie, and Alec were all together the night that Todd disappeared.
Him, Dennis, and this Steph were all together the night he disappeared. All three of them. And they were all in that motorhome together. So Alec claims he doesn't know anything. I don't believe it. He's the one who was asking his mom for cleaning supplies. He wasn't cooperating. Again, the detective saying, oh, well, he's sticking to his story. So, but, you know, who wouldn't? But just Alex has come up. I've gotten numerous texts from him and even other people verifying witnesses of him changing his story all the time. It never comes back the same story. It's always different. He's changing it. It's never consistent.
Dennis, Stephanie, and Alec all have extensive criminal records. One thing that stuck out to me when I was looking at them was that Alec was charged with kidnapping in 2013, and there were several assault charges related to this offense, including strangulation. Stephanie has a long history of drug charges, and Dennis has many, many theft-related charges. Dennis was incarcerated for a period of time after Todd disappeared. The detective was able to listen in on his conversations with his girlfriend, hoping to find some information that would lead them to Todd.
I'm not sure if they brought him in, but the detective, she said that she talked to him. And she said that, he went to jail. He wasn't looking at much time. And the girlfriend came visiting, and she said there was nothing off to her. She said she was listening in on their visiting on the phone calls. But then she said she didn't feel anything was off. But I'm telling you, she said he mentioned, oh, how I miss Todd. And if that ain't off, I don't know what is, because why? And this guy's not stupid as far as knowing that they do listen to your phone calls. Why would he, when he knows this is going on, just out of the blue go, I really miss Todd, you know? And she's trying to say she didn't feel that was off. I'm sorry, this Stephanie, this Dennis's girlfriend, she's with him everywhere. She was with him when this all went down.
Stephanie is currently incarcerated in the Washington Corrections Center for Women, and has indicated that she wants to talk about what she knows.
Stephanie says she's willing to talk. In the beginning of this, Stephanie was talked to by someone, a friend of Todd's, just asking about things. And she was crying and saying she felt so bad. And, you know, she wanted it done and over with. And then before she was saying, I can't live with myself knowing what I know. But then she wouldn't elaborate. She'd just cry and then she'd shut down and it's just been a nightmare with these two.
One of the persistent rumors is that Todd was thrown into the Nooksack River.
They put him where they throw in crab pots in that river on the res. And people are saying, yeah, someone is calling him crab bait.
We know that the Bellingham Police Department hasn't been able to search the river in this area, but Wendy is hoping to get permission for some divers to search the water.
No, I do have a friend who lives up that way that has some friends that do diving. He's going to talk to them for me to see if they wouldn't volunteer or, you know, some kind of fee, if it's possible, if they would not dive where a couple of these places where rumors said where he was thrown in. So I'm waiting on that right now.
Due to the complicated jurisdictional issues in this case, Wendy has been hoping that the FBI would get involved to help move this case forward.
So I've tried to reach out to the FBI as well. They told me that they can't do anything unless the police department reaches out to them. So I asked, please reach out to them so that I can get the FBI involved in this because they do have reservation jurisdiction. And she says, oh, I know someone on who works with the FBI. And she said, I will talk to her. I'll give her a phone call. Every time I tried to call her, she would always have an excuse for it. Some reason, oh, she was in a meeting, this or that or something. You know, I pestered her and pestered her. So just in the last 3 or more months, she has just totally written me off. I just can't get anywhere with her. You know, she made me a promise that she would never give up on this. Todd's always on her mind every day, daily. But that was a lie too. And it just caught her in very, very many, many lies. The only coverage my son is getting is the posters that we've made and the GoFundMe I set up. Otherwise, he means nothing.
One option that we always have to consider in missing persons cases is if the person could have just walked away and decided to start over somewhere else. Could Todd have decided that a clean break from his life was something that he needed? Wendy told me why she believes that he would not have done this.
He wouldn't do this to his family. He wasn't like that. He had the biggest heart. He just wouldn't do that. I lost my son back December 2015, and he knows how hard that was and has been for me. And he wouldn't do this to me. He wouldn't make me go through this twice, worrying and not telling me something. So that's why I just believe there's been foul play. And I just want to find my son so I can put him to rest next to his brother. I hate saying that because I haven't heard anything final, but it just doesn't look good.
My heart broke for Wendy when she told me about losing one son in 2015 and then having Todd go missing in 2017. That is just too much for one family to endure. You often hear families on this show express how hard the not knowing is. Wendy explained to me how different the healing process has been between these two tragedies.
It's a nightmare every day. You know, when my 18-year-old son passed, it was tragic. And I still fight some days to keep my head above water. It's just, I can't explain losing a child. And, you know, but the healing is coming slowly, though I don't think it will ever be complete. But it's something where you can at least keep going. With this right now, just not knowing about my son, it's such a limbo situation, and there's no healing that could come of this as it is right now, not knowing. There's no answers, so there's no point of healing or anything. It's just a nightmare. It's a stagnant nightmare.
When I was speaking to McKenna, she expressed to me just how much Todd meant to her and how he taught her so much about accepting others. People often judge Todd just by looking at him because he had a tattoo of an umbrella next to his eye or because of his piercings, but he didn't judge others in this way or show anyone less kindness because they judged him. He wasn't afraid to stand out, and he was also known to be a selfless person. When he was living on the streets, he would often give the little food that he had to others who were in need. There is so much more to Todd than his struggles with addiction, and his disappearance has devastated so many who knew him. During our conversation, McKenna said something that has really stuck with me.
I mean, we're on the streets together. Even in our darkest days, when we're holding signs in the streets of Bellingham, I look back and those were still the best days of my life. Because he was here. And I know that a lot of other people, that he's made a lot of other people feel that way too. And him being gone just kind of puts a little bit of a, not really a light in the world without him anymore, you know? This is not how it was supposed to turn out.
So what happened to Todd Bernard? We do know that he was in contact with his mom and McKenna on the 21st, and then the activity on his phone stopped. All of the stories continue to point back to several of his friends, and we know that the one friend claims to be the last person with Todd when he allegedly ran into the woods. He also claimed to have Todd's phone, but said that Todd had left it at the home of one of his family members well before his disappearance. That doesn't make sense because we know that Todd had been using the phone to contact friends and family during the time that Dennis claimed that it had been left there. Do you believe the story about the stolen guitar, or is that a cover for something else? One thing that Wendy mentioned to me was that these friends of Todd's, who were admittedly the last to see him, never made any contact asking about his case or if he'd been found, and that really stands out to her because they were supposed to be close friends. Are they quiet because they know what happened to Todd? And who was dropping his belongings off in random places? I think that what you've heard about Todd's disappearance is probably some mix of truth and rumors. I strongly believe that there are other people out there who have information that could break this case. I don't know if they're not coming forward because they're afraid, or possibly because of their own criminal activity. But if that's you, think about the pain you heard in Wendy's voice and consider making an anonymous tip. At the time of Todd's disappearance, he was 6 feet tall and weighed approximately 140 pounds. He has brown hair and brown eyes. Todd also has many tattoos. Two that I will mention include the umbrella tattoo next to his eye and the word Portland across his fingers. If you have any information about the disappearance of Todd Bernard, you can contact the Bellingham Police Department at 360-778-8611. You can submit a tip anonymously at cob.org/tips. You can also send information to his mom, Wendy, and I'll include her email address in the episode notes. If you'd like to follow Todd's case on social media, there's a Facebook group called Justice for Todd Bernard. Sometimes I get insensitive comments when I cover missing people who have struggled with addiction. It's such a major epidemic in communities all over this country that we shouldn't ignore. I can relate to Todd's story after dealing and continuing to deal with my own sister's addiction for much of my life. These are the stories that don't get much attention, but many people are devastated by Todd's disappearance, and they are victims of this too. So please remember that before making an unkind comment. That brings us to the end of episode 113. I'd like to thank Wendy and McKenna for taking the time to speak with me. If you'd like to reach me, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. Just search The Vanished Podcast and you'll find them. I'm on Twitter at The Vanished Pod and also on Instagram. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. Join me next week. I'll be covering a case from Colorado. Thanks for listening.
This whole situation is everybody around Whatcom County who knew my son and, you know, lived there are all still saying the same thing. Their stories haven't varied. They still remember. They're still talking about it. So that's why it's still urgent, because it's still being talked about. It's just amazing to me. It's just like my son never existed. They can't find anything. It's just, there's nothing. It just vanished. And, you know, it's scary because there's a lot of this going on up there in Whatcom County in Bellingham. There's another girl right after my son, her name is Vera, who went missing, and they haven't found her. And the detective told the mother, because I've been in touch with her, the same thing. They're just waiting for someone to look at time and try to plea bargain.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.